So Dhamma is more precise than the intellectual understanding or concept. Something comes in the mind or something like that.
Of course, yeah. I was kind of intellectual about it, but then I realized it's deeper than intellectual. It's just like, you know, Sutamaya Panna and Bhavanamaya Panna. So, yeah, I agree to that. But on the other hand, it's not the thing about learning. I mean, you can learn from the books and you can learn from Abhidhamma written in Tipitaka, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is that, you know, you should... That's what I do. So what I'm doing is, like, you know, I look at whatever is, and I sort of, you can say, contemplate present moment, but without words, without any kind of comments and whatever.
And at that very time, what is I?
There is no actually I.
So, what are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's just components, you know, which...
Chitta, chetasikas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chitta experiencing, chetasikas experiencing.
Yeah. Well, you can call them chittas, chetasikas, you can call them components, you can call them whatever. They don't have names, so...
But they have functions.
They have.
And what is the purpose of, like, now being more precise and distinguishing between citta and citta seekers and understanding that actually there are just cittas and citta seekers experiencing an object. Now, why do we bother to learn?
Well, that's the thing that I was trying to get to, that you actually need a lot of sati to distinguish these things. Mm-hmm.
So what is the point of even talking about these details or classifications?
Well, of course, to get to know it and to be able to change.
And so that there is, so that one can begin to see, or panya can begin to see, that there is no self, no one experiencing, no one who can try to follow a method or try to use the Eightfold Path, because otherwise, if one hasn't heard about citta and citta seekers, it will always be me who's doing something, self who's doing something.
Well, you don't have to, well, that's my opinion, you don't have to hear about cittas and cittasikas to get panya, because what you need for panya is to get the right conditions for panya to arise. If the right conditions are, you don't need to know
so
all the items.
So what are the right conditions for panya?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the
so
thing.
What are the conditions for panya?
Well, the good conditions for panya is seeing reality clearly.
And what is reality that has
the
to
present
be
moment?
What is the present moment?
Well, the present moment is arising. It's nameless. There are no names.
What is arising?
Oh, the reality and
what reality?
No, it's not only I. It's also
Chitta Sika Rupa, right?
Yeah. But it's just names.
Okay.
It's just nama.
Seeing visible object.
Yeah, but it's just nama. So, you know, in my mind, when I see, I don't label it Chitta and Chetasika, because it's just coming. I don't need to label anything, and it's this kind of thing that happens.
But if we want to describe or understand what it is, other than some amorphous kind of thing, then we have to give them labels, otherwise we cannot communicate with each other.
True.
But why did the Buddha describe...
Can we be more specific than just saying the present moment is just whatever it is?
Well, it's...
Because everyone would take that a different way, I think.
And everybody actually does. You know, even if you have Buddha's teaching, you take it in a different way, and every one of us is...
Right, but I think the question is, what did the Buddha say about what the present moment is? Because my understanding, what he taught about was the present moment and its understanding.
Yeah, and he also taught about the, I mean, Okay, the present moment, you can say it's a personable truth, which is that, you know, there is suffering, and this is the present moment, and you
what,
can.
What is suffering?
Yeah, you can say that, you know, that's the second noble truth that.
But even the first noble truth, what is suffering?
Yeah, there's a bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, and kama tanha. So, and it is present right now, because every one of us right now are making bhava tanha. We are all becoming. So you cannot escape from it.
So
right
the
now.
When we were talking before about seeing,
yeah,
as ayatana or seeing, yeah, is seeing dukkha.
Partly, yeah.
Because
partly, you're having a bad
time. It's just like in seeing. You can have panya partly, not the whole. It's not like you can see and there is just panya in seeing. That's just absurd. So in seeing a chair, and I can see it's a nice chair. So it's gonna be some kind of tanha.
I think Sarah's question was: is seeing itself, which would precede
the seeing itself,
seeing
is mindless. Seeing itself, mindless.
Dukkha.
Is seeing itself dukkha? Well, no, but the consequences of it, yes. The consequences of seeing. So the part where the seeing,
the tanha that arises, yeah, after the seeing,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but not the seeing itself.
Yeah, 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 sure. But this of course, this.
So what do you mean by dukkha?
Oh, the tanha mostly comes from
the dukkha. What is dukkha?
Dukkha is something, okay, but just my words. I don't want to. Just my words. Dukkha,
yes,
is something you lack.
Dukkha?
Something you lack. Something you don't.
Like or lack, sorry.
Lack. Yeah.
Dukkha is something you lack.
Like you don't have.
You want it, you don't have. You don't have it, you want it. That's dukkha.
Yeah.
So you mean now there's no dukkha?
What I mean is there's always dukkha, because people...
There's always dukkha, so
yeah,
you mean that seeing now is also dukkha?
Yeah, but, okay. Always, what I mean always is, okay, it's just, it's always
it's
in the mind.
Always.
In the mind. It's not in the processes of constructing them. It's not like, mind is constructed with lots of things. So, okay, seeing, okay, there's no dukkha there. But
seeing is dukkha.
No,
not dukkha.
The act of seeing, the just the present moment of seeing is not dukkha. But what comes after it? Mind is not just
to
only
it,
seeing.
You mean what?
Sorry?
To it. What is it?
Once again.
She, as she's asking you, you said something comes after it.
Yeah.
Something comes after it. Dukkha,
yeah, yeah,
comes.
Yeah, I mean, actually with, you can say with, it's connected with seeing, but yeah, the moment of seeing.
So, are the five khandhas dukkha?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is
seeing is khanda or not?
No. I mean, there's rupa, sanya,
rupa
vedana,
khanda, vedana khanda, sanya,
yeah, yeah,
khanda, sankhara khanda, and vinyana khanda.
Well, yeah, but that's a different vinyana.
Pardon?
That's a different vinyana.
No, all vinyana.
All cheetahs.
Each vinyana is khanda. Because khanda means that which arises and falls away. Whatever arises and falls away is khanda.
Alright. Yeah.
It includes everything which is conditioned to arise.
Alright.
Is dukkha.
Yeah, alright.
Because it's not permanent, just arise for a,
yeah,
moment and never come back again, once,
yeah,
in life.
That's dukkha, yeah.
Yeah, dukkha.
But at the moment
seeing
of seeing is not dukkha.
No, no, seeing itself. Not a seeing, no one sees, right?
Yeah.
Because seeing is ayatana.
Yeah.
No self. Chetasikas, accompany seeing, is also ayatana. No one. And the eyes base is ayatana, no one. And visible object is no one. So at moment of seeing, there is no one. It's only the arising of realities by conditions, and falls away instantly, never come back. That's the meaning of dukkha.
Yeah, anicca.
Anicca, tukang, and anatta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the first number. I mean, that's the right view.
So seeing is dukkha. It arises, it falls away.
It depends what you call seeing.
No, seeing is now seeing.
Is
no matter you call it in Polish
seeing?
Or in Thai, we don't need. What is present now?
Yeah, but
at moment of seeing, there's no other reality.
Okay, I got it. At the moment of seeing, there is no dukkha.
No self. No.
But
seeing that's arise.
Seeing itself is dukkha because it arises and falls away.
It doesn't fall away because at the moment of seeing, it doesn't fall away. It's just that moment of being. It's just the moment of now, which is very short. But when it falls, that's what I was trying to say. When it falls away, that's this lack. That's the dukkha. Because it doesn't
what
last.
What is dukkha? Nothing, because it falls away completely.
Yeah, and we
nothing is
and
left.
We know it. We know
no,
that
no,
it falls.
No, another moment of I must be another ayatana again.
Yeah, but we know that.
No way. Only realities arise from moment to moment.
Yeah, but we remember, right? The past
remember, ayatanas. Remembering memory sanya chetasika, sanya khanda, no wonder.
Yeah. So then
and sanya arises and falls away. Is sanya khanda?
Sanya is a khanda, yeah.
So all khandas are dukkha. All,
well, it depends now if
all,
vijnana.
All.
As soon as the seeing arises, it's falling away instantly. So even when it begins to arise, it's dukkha because it's
what about
falling
the
away immediately.
No, we just heard that it's sanya. It's the moment of falling away. The moment of falling away is just past.
What falls away?
Well, the seeing, right?
And the sanya too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's
all
no
khandas.
Vijnana, there's sanya.
But all conditioned dharmas, whether it's seeing or sanya or vedana or any conditioned dharma is dukkha because it falls away, it doesn't last. It arises and falls away instantly.
I got it.
So it's not worth clinging on to. So usually there's clinging to that which...
What I'm trying to say is that the perception of having it fallen away is not vijnana, it's sanya, right? The moment when you see is vijnana. It's just the moment you see. And
sanya arises with every single citta. So at the moment of seeing, there is sanya marking its object.
Yeah.
The moment of hearing, there is sanya marking its object. So when seeing arises, sanya arises with it, pasa arises with it, vedana arises with it, and they all fall away. Each one is dukkha. Each khanda is dukkha.
It is, I agree with that,
Each moment.
Yeah, so that's the first noble truth. And I.
Each dhamma of each moment.
Each Dhamma of each moment.
If we say there's Ayatana, or each Ayatana if you like, or each Khanda, but they are ways of classifying Dhammas such as Vijnana and Sanya and so forth.
So what's wrong with the Noble Truths? What's wrong with the Four Noble Truths?
Truth.
Yeah, because it
truth
seems like there's something wrong.
Truth is not wrong.
Okay, it's not nothing's wrong with them, right? Because I was like having a feeling.
In the case of the Buddha, the Buddha is seeing, when there is seeing arising, in the Buddha's case, is it dukkha?
In the case of a Buddha, no.
It's the seeing dukkha. It's the sanya dukkha.
You know that, it's a thing about karma, and you know, when someone is an arhan, he's not making karma, right?
But each conditioned dhamma is still dukkha.
Each conditioned dhamma is still dukkha, but the thing
but
is...
But in the Buddha's case, the reality, there's no clinging, there's no more karma, but the reality is still dukkha.
As a quality of a reality,
as a quality of a reality.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's dukkha as a quality, but Buddha doesn't have the... He doesn't lack, sort of. He's just seeing, and he doesn't. He doesn't long for the stuff.
Still, because there's understanding that seeing is dukkha.
That is, yeah,
that's
for example,
why the craving has been eradicated, yeah. Because
yeah, yeah.
The panya has fully realized this.
Yeah, he's seeing with the panya. Yeah, he's looking.
Just getting back to your question, what's wrong with the first one?
Yeah,
I was going to point out. Remember how the first noble truth is explained by the Buddha. Birth and suffering.
Death, old age, and then
he says, in short, five khandhas.
Are
suffering. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So
the dhammas that constitute the five khandhas.
So you know now that seeing comes from tanha, right? If there's no tanha, no kamma. No vipaka. So seeing is vipaka, so the cause of it is tanha.
Once again, seeing is vipaka, and
its cause is tanha.
Now
one knows that no one can cause or condition seeing to arise at all.
No one can cause.
Only tanha and kamma can condition seeing right now to arise.
Yeah, because all is tanha.
No one, no self. So there are only dukkha arising and falling away. As long as still there is tanha, there would be the vipaka, seeing, hearing, so forth.
And for the one with no more tanha, no more becoming, no more seeing, no more hearing, because seeing and hearing are essentially dukkha, unsatisfactory. So
what you're saying that...
What I'm saying is that... you're right, the harm of seeing and hearing is the clinging to it, but seeing and hearing themselves are dukkha.
They have the characteristic of dukkha, but it depends on the person when he or she sees with the right understanding or the wrong understanding. Right. But it's nothing. There's nothing wrong with seeing, what I'm trying to say. There is
what you mean by wrong?
Wrong means that there's nothing wrong with... it is something, there is wrong because it has the characteristics of dukkha, but...
You're saying it's not unwholesome itself, it's not, because there's no...
Because... Okay. The seeing is neutral. It's neutral.
In terms of what?
In terms of...
quality or...
In terms of objective, let's say, medical stuff, medical science... It's neutral to like for the common people, like when you go outside, if you're gonna say to him that seeing has the characteristics of dukkha,
I do not depend on scientists.
You
wouldn't just say seeing is vipaka, also seeing is just
that no akusala arises with the moment of seeing. Is that what you're saying? No attachment, no anger.
Well, no, it's actually the other way. When you see, you can actually have these akusala.
At the moment of seeing?
No, just after that.
That's right, just after. I think what we're talking about here is just the one moment of seeing, not the after.
Okay. So the moment of seeing is neutral, right?
No. What do you mean by neutral?
In terms of
the akusala.
So it's vipaka, not kusala.
Yeah, it is vipaka. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Vipaka means that, it's like that there is the accumulation of...
It's the result of karma.
Yeah, the accumulation, the fruit of karma, right?
Of karma.
Yeah. Vipaka is the fruit of karma.
If I can may say something, because you thought that I don't get it, because the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it is neutral, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the science. Ajahn said she does not depend on science, but you mentioned this by science, and because Abhidhamma also says about this, like the science. So you mentioned science first, why not mention first Abhidhamma if we talk about the sources of something, you know? You are not a scientist.
I am not.
Yeah, and you are the Buddha student.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, so why you...
But why should I close my eyes to the science?
No, I just think, but the thing is, because I just want to add seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
Mm-hmm.
You said this is neutral, isn't it?
In the process, yeah, in the moment.
But this, like, for example, in Dhammasangani, the first three words, the first tika, Dhammasangani is Kusala Dhamma, Akusala Dhamma, and Avyakata Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you mean that neutral thing. That it's not kusala, kusala, it's not karma, it's not them doing, but it's like, it's
just neutral a process, thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's it, yeah. So I just, yeah, so this is it.
So seeing is Abhyakata Dhamma.
Why do you might call it like that?
You don't need sciences to tell us.
I mean, for me, seeing has this characteristic, but and the moment of now
of seeing,
neutral.
You mean
of seeing is
just
neutral.
Seeing itself.
Sorry?
Just seeing moment.
Yeah. It's neutral then. But what comes after it, there's
different details.
Yeah. That's different. But the moment is nothing. I mean nothing of moral quality.
When you say for me, it's actually all there in the teachings.
Yeah.
So in terms of discussion, rather than me saying what I think seeing might be or so forth, we try to figure out what it was the Buddha said about these things.
Yeah, well, I usually take teachings into my experience and I can only say from my perspective, so it's my understanding of Buddha's teaching. I am grateful to Buddha, but I would not say anything that I don't understand. So everything that Buddha taught is not accessible to me right now. So I can only say stuff which I understand and I experience and I know. The other stuff which I don't understand, how can I say anything about them? I cannot. So it's just...
So what about the idea that Dhammas are momentary?
Well, I kind of experience it. Kind of, I experience.
But can understand it intellectually, like seeing is not hearing.
Yeah, but I can also experience it, you know. That.
But can you one day, when Panya develops?
Can I what?
He said he can experience
it.
You can.
You can.
Yeah.
Experience directly or think about it?
No, I think it's directly. When I meditate, I just look at them.
What do you mean by meditate?
Meditate means by sitting sitting and looking at them.
We're glad
at Dhamma. I mean, at the Dhammas that are developed, that are just coming to the mind, to the sixth, you can say citta.
The reason we're going into a lot of these words is not to create sort of a word and paper definition, but to try to really understand what the Buddha meant by each of these words. And it certainly, I think, for most of us involved, the conventional word would be a shift in thinking. But as one hears more about the Dhamma as the Buddha taught, one's understanding can grow.
I have a question following on from the discussion yesterday. Sorry to repeat, but it's about kusala and akusala and understanding the difference between the two, because it's still something I think intellectually I have difficulty with. It is not a matter of, as far as I'm concerned, wanting to develop samatha, but just still wanting to know which
understand.
Moments are kusala and which moments are akusala. So regardless of any idea of having a particular object, kamatana, and developing more concentration or whatever, I'm not interested, but would just like to understand more about difference between kusala and akusala.
Nothing to do with samatha?
It
I suppose it's to do with samatha. Only kusala
or akusala? Oh, there are many degrees of kusala.
Yeah. There are degrees of kusala, mm-hmm. Yes.
Degrees like dana, sila,
right,
and samatha, and vipassana.
But those degrees, if we say like dana or sila, I understand because dana involves giving, some kind, sometimes an act of giving or can be just through the mind, or I suppose, but it's rather that is what enables me to identify whether it's done, where it may be done or not, but not, it's not a matter of, because
why,
I feel that there can be the understanding of the characteristic of kusala.
When there's no understanding of Dhamma at all, like now, can one know that seeing is not kusala?
If there's no understanding, one can't. Mm-hmm.
So one has to begin with understanding Dhamma before one knows what kusala and what's not kusala.
I don't have any problem with that, but then the people that lived before the Buddha, they also understood kusala from akusala.
Okay.
So, but they didn't understand about Dhammas.
Do you like this?
Yes.
If there is no seeing of this, do you like it? Can you like this?
No,
seeing. So
seeing.
Those who can see, how come attachment without seeing?
Right.
So they think that it's better not to see, not to hear, not to smell, not to taste, not to think about other things else except that which can be object for right understanding at level of samatha, being calm, no akusala.
Right. Because they aspire to develop greater calm. But
from knowing the danger of
what is
by
when
seeing
I
the
see
danger,
that,
yeah.
There may be attachment or there may not. So
if it's not attachment, what is it?
Would have to be attachment, wouldn't it?
Or moha without attachment.
Or moha without
dosa. All akusala dhamma.
Right.
By knowing they're seeing the danger of akusala all day long.
Right.
Those who are wise enough and know how to be kusala, understanding or reading or giving or metta and so forth. Mm-hmm. Moment of kusala.
So the question I was asking yesterday is maybe the wrong question. I was asking at this moment, as we're having Dhamma discussion, there's presumably some kusala moments,
but
and also there will be
directly
a kusala attachment to a visible object, and how is the difference between the kusala and akusala?
But anyway, you know, after seeing that is kusala or akusala, just vaguely, coarsely, really coarse, but still you see the danger of seeing. If you don't see the danger of seeing, you don't see that. Why should one have more calm in a day from away from akusala? And just this is not enough to have samatha bhavana. That person knows what object the citta can be calm.
Will condition more calm, right. But that must come later, I suppose.
Right,
yeah.
Before developing
kusala
more and more.
But the very beginning stage is understanding how the present moment of seeing is a condition for kusala to follow after the moments of seeing.
Sensuous object.
So it's something to do with the nature of sensuous object?
Clinging. Without understanding all the time.
But some kamatana are sensuous object too.
Nimitta of sensuous object, not the object itself.
And it's a very particular sensuous object.
But
like a corpse.
When it's nimitta, it's not the sensuous object.
It means it's not seen. By the eyes, the nimitta of samatha bhavana
depending on what kind of samatha, like kesa, loma, nakha, thanta. But the other object is not seen. The most important thing is to understand reality as it is, as no self, because samatha bhavana cannot eradicate the idea of self. One could be born in heaven in Rupa Brahma, Arupa Brahma, and then have to come back to be attached to sensuous object again and again.
So when there is seeing, hearing, smelling, taste, touching, it seems like we do it, but it's also conditioned. Because, for example, like jhana or the higher planes, there is no conditions for seeing, hearing, smelling, isn't it?
Arupa Brahma?
Yes, yeah, something like that. But Ajahn, because it's also a good reminder, like consider Kama Vachara Chitta and these higher chittas. Because in that, I think there is, like in the book, there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, isn't it? In the higher Arupa
Brahma doesn't have any kind of rupa at all. Only chitta and chetasika arise.
So there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting.
No rupa.
But the Ajahn, this is helpful to consider this, isn't it? Like there is some other kind of planes that mm-hmm. there is no yeah. just condition for what is now, like the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Because I think some people can get it wrongly and think a lot of gods and everything. But if we consider the gods lives there and it's just different reality, different conditions.
Seeing,
for
hearing.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting.
God sees, God hears.
Yes. Because you mentioned the last time that it's like a dream, this life now. That's like a dream, but except there is
every
seeing...
Every moment.
Excuse me?
Every moment.
But you mentioned that this is exactly now what is this. It's just like a dream. But there is just... Except that there is now seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
Arising and falling away.
Yes.
Never come back.
Yeah.
Like what appears in the dream.
But if we compare the dream and daily life now, we can see the difference.
What is the difference?
That there is visible object and seeing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is only the difference between a dream and not a dream.
A dream and another dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dream.
But it is like a dream again.
Oh, dream and not a dream, okay. I thought you mentioned a dream and then another dream.
Right, it can be that. Always a dream.
And what about the point we were discussing of breakfast about Vinaya and Sila?
Oh,
should we bring
that
up?
Because Sarah mentioned that she was a nun or something like this in the monastery and... What you meant?
I said I lived in the monastery,
yeah, yeah.
And you said, and then I heard Ajahn and realized,
yeah, yeah,
go back
yeah,
to normal life,
yeah,
no need.
You went to,
and
yeah.
you said, well, but you think that
yeah.
following the Vinaya or living in a monastery is good for sila, or
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and I said it depends
I mean,
on the understanding.
Excuse me, even you are not in a monastery, you can observe more precepts than five.
But, Ajahn, but there is also a difference because monastery is more supportive to coldness and to sila.
If you don't have accumulation to observe precept, it doesn't feel easy at all.
Yeah, but I've got like this. I don't have accumulation to observe sila.
How many?
Five.
One.
One. Yeah, <that's... laughs> And how can I start with sila now? That's the question.
Seeing the value of sila, the benefit of it, all kusala in a day, when one follows sila.
But it seems like very, very long way, because there is not so much
kusala.
If
you don't start now, it's long. But a step and a step and a step, it will not as long as before.
Do you think that going to a monastery is a quicker way to have sila?
I think going to the monastery is the way to have a sila.
For whom?
Yes, but if we talk about the development of kusala, Shila is also kusala, so... And if we go to the monastery,
as, yes,
we can
see... Go to monastery as lay people or as monks?
As
or
a lay person, yeah. For example, going to the monastery as a lay person or as a monk, different conditions.
Can you get any understanding from monastery?
But Ajahn, I can see like the Blessed One talk about the... for example, these conditions to that helps to accumulate.
For whom? The question is for whom? Not for another Bindaka, not for Visakha Upasika, not for Chitta Kriyapati. For whom?
For whom?
Ready to go? Let's go now.
Maybe he thinks, for example, if he's in the monastery, no, he doesn't drink or something like
that. No, no,
this,
yeah,
that,
no, I don't mean that. Yeah. I don't mean that, of course. But, Ajahn, what I mean, because you mentioned how to develop more kusala.
Even in lay people's life.
Yes, but also I think this is the condition the Buddha taught, being in a nice environment with wise friends.
When you have wise friends.
When I have wise
wherever
friends.
Wherever you are.
Well, no. No, but the monks are very...
Can help
like
you to have right
and,
understanding?
Excuse me?
Can the monk help you to have right understanding?
Not so much.
A little?
A little.
Like what?
Like develop more sila.
Who is developing? Is that the teachings of the Buddha?
No, but they say, I am the developer.
So it's not
sila.
The teachings of Buddha, see? The teachings of Buddha, who is developing sila, see? No one.
Yeah,
that is the teaching. But if still I am developing, that is not a teaching.